98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
When we hit the 4 o'clock reset, it's where we hit the reset button on the show. Start things over at the halfway point, get you caught up on everything making news today on the Burns and Gambo show. We start today's 4 o'clock reset with the Diamondbacks game tonight, back home after that 0-6 road trip. Luke Weaver gets the start tonight in a game that might be his last chance in the rotation. Here's manager Troy Lovello.
We feel like he's in a very good space, and he's got a good mindset, and he's ready to go out and have a terrific game. That's my anticipation.
It's been a struggle for him in the last four starts. There was a lot of speculation that he might not even make this start, potentially.
Yeah. 2019, the first 7-8 games that he pitched, he was so good. He was their best pitcher. And then he had the elbow injury, and he didn't make, I think he made one appearance the rest of the year. Last year he was healthy, but he never got going. He went 1-9 last year with a 6.58 ERA. He was terrible. Worked on simplifying some things in the offseason, and this year he's not off to a good start again. He had one good outing, but other than that, he's really struggled. Especially the main struggle is going deep in games. He can't get past that fifth inning.
D-backs Marlins at 6:40 from Chase Field. Torrey also said pregame today, Ketel Marte is getting closer.
He's going to come over here to Chase tomorrow, and we're going to get a chance to watch him. I know there's going to be some excitement just to see him. We're going to get him on the bases and his spikes and watch him do his thing. So the bat is never an issue. Has never been the issue. It's just mostly running and feeling comfortable post-run. And everything's been progressing very well.
He's been at the alternate training facility, which is Salt River Fields, and he's been doing his running and everything there. And looks like he's very, very close to a rehab assignment, and he will go on a rehab assignment.
Bill Armstrong, the general manager of the Coyotes today, talking about Rick Tocchet. The news coming down yesterday, Gambo actually broke it yesterday morning, that the Coyotes were mutually agreed to part ways with their head coach. Tocchet was on the job for 4 years. Here's Bill.
That was a tough decision. But it's an evaluation that I've done all year. And, you know, Rick Tocchet's a good coach. He's a good man. You know, at this point in time, I guess probably the easiest way to say it is that we were looking for new leadership and a new voice.
Yeah, and the mutual part was that Tock wouldn't have come back unless certain things were met that he needed. Because this team is just... There's not enough talent on this roster, and Bill knows that. Bill's got to change the roster. Chyka left it a mess, so they just need more talent, and they've got some things that they need to do. They got to move some salary and some dead weight, and that's Bill Armstrong's offseason. Bill Armstrong needs to make the right moves this offseason and start the rebuilding process, but they will do it with a new, young, and upcoming coach.
Quick note from the NBA this past weekend. Celtics forward Jaylen Brown diagnosed with a torn ligament in his left wrist. He's expected to have the ligament surgically repaired later this week. He's going to be out for the remainder of this season. The Celtics right now, seventh seed in the Eastern Conference, so they'll ticket it for the play-in game this week.
Yeah, you know, when healthy, you thought that was a team. Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum and Brown and Marcus Smart. They have the ability to beat just about anybody, but this is just not the Celtics' year.
No. Some Cardinals players taking advantage of the NFL's new rules and will change numbers. Buddha is going to number 3. Chase Edmonds is going to number 2. Byron Murphy will switch to number 7. And in the most interesting one of them all to me, new cornerback Malcolm Butler, he is going to wear Patrick Peterson's number 21. And that's going to be weird. Weird.
Yeah. It'll be nice to see somebody with number 21 on make a tackle. It'll be nice, you know. It will. I mean, listen, we haven't seen somebody wearing number 21 make a tackle in a long time. I mean, think about the announcers and number 21 on the tackle. I mean, it's been a long time since somebody's been able to say that.
That's funny stuff.
It's true.
But our top story of the day today on the Burns and Gambo show, the Suns and the LA Lakers last night in a game that the Suns were just chasing the Lakers from almost the word go. The Suns were down double digits within moments of that game starting. And other than a stretch where they cut it to 9 in the second quarter and they cut it to 7 in the fourth quarter, they kind of made things interesting late with Cameron Payne hitting a bunch of shots. That was a game in which the Lakers asserted their dominance on both ends. The Suns had.
Yeah, LeBron was unbelievable. I mean, LeBron went for, what did he go for? 30?
Zero. He went for zero last night.
How many Kuzma get
Kuzma
last night?
Kuzma did. He hit nothing last night.
Kuzma was so good last night.
Dennis Schroeder hit nothing last night.
Dennis Schroeder had, what, double? Did he have a triple double, Dennis Schroeder?
From the bench, maybe a triple double if he was shooting trash into the waste
Schroeder,
can.
No Kuzma, no LeBron. You're right. They went out. They were on a mission. I talked to some people in that Laker organization after the game last night. There's no doubt that they wanted to send a message. They feel like they're going to play the Suns in the first round. They do. And they wanted to send that message that we're better than you. And they are bigger. And they are stronger. And, you know, Drummond and AD had 22 rebounds combined. AD was fantastic. But it wasn't just him. I mean, Caruso had a great game. Ben McLemore hit some big threes for them. Wes Matthews, you know, came in and played well. So, I mean, the Lakers were just, they were the much better team last night. They punched the Suns in the mouth, and the Suns didn't respond. I mean, this had no point in a game outside of Cameron Payne in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. At no point did the Suns have an answer for the Lakers. They just didn't respond last night.
No, the quote from Monty, and I'll just read it here because it's right to the point. Monty talking about last night's game. We played a team we might see in the first round. I felt like they were sending us a message tonight, and I think our guys heard it loud and clear. And there were two things about that game last night that just have to make you real, real nervous if you're a Suns fan. Okay. Number one, you mentioned Anthony Davis and the night that he had. The Suns had no answer for him. Here's Monty after the game.
I just didn't think he felt us enough. You know, that I thought there were times where he was just looking to the other side as opposed to having a hand in his face, even with the guy on him. I just thought he was really comfortable tonight. I think the first three of the game, I believe, you know, we weren't really into him, and he could see the other side of the floor. It was a two-on-one situation. He just swung it to the other side. They got a three to start the game. And I thought that's how the night was for him. I just didn't think he felt us enough, and he took advantage of it. You know, he's a big, strong kid, young man. And you look at the numbers, he had a dominant performance.
You know, sometimes you look at matchups in the NFL with a tight end. Oh, man, he's a matchup nightmare. These guys are too slow to cover him. These guys aren't big enough to cover him. Anthony Davis is – Frank Kaminsky and Dario Saric are too slow. They're too slow.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Crowder and Torrey Craig aren't big enough. So how do you defend them? So Crowder and Torrey Craig, they're not big enough to defend him. And Frank and Dario, they're too slow to defend him.
What's DeAndre Ayton's reason for not being able to defend him? Is he just not savvy enough? Is he not experienced enough? What's the knock on Ayton in defending Anthony Davis in your equation?
He's big enough and he's quick enough, but they get the switches all the time. They're very easy. They're able to get those switches on a regular basis.
Yeah, I don't know if Ayton's ready. And then,
you know, he's playing with Drummond out there. So you've got, you know, if you put Ayton on Anthony Davis, who's covering Drummond?
I mean, look.
I mean, Drummond was out there with AD the whole time. So, you know, DeAndre's going to cover the center. He's going to cover Drummond and not the power forward. And you don't have a power forward that could cover Anthony Davis.
And I'm not trying to blame this on DeAndre Ayton. I'm just saying I don't know if DeAndre Ayton's equipped to guard Anthony Davis because Anthony Davis is just so skilled and so savvy. And look, go back to the trade deadline. And we talked about it. What's the one thing that makes you a little nervous?
A backup big.
For moments just like this, for games just like this, for potential series just like this. And real quick, the other thing that makes me nervous about the Lakers, how well they defend. Man, they were all over Booker last night. They were all over Paul last night. They're going to do that. They defended so well in the bubble last year. And when their defense is on, they're going to make life really tough on the Phoenix Suns on the offensive end.
Their defense is great. It just seems almost like an oxymoron. Is that a phrase?
I don't know. Finish your phrase.
Like, oh, they were able to go get a guy at the deadline that could cover Anthony Davis. Really?
Well, no.
Like, really?
But somebody who could provide some depth and some help there. Yeah, no, they were never going to find an Anthony Davis stopper, but the depth behind DeAndre Ayton, they don't have it. They don't have big. They don't have any depth behind DeAndre Ayton at that
spot. No, that's why, you know, they're just so damn big,
and that's a problem.
Yeah, and you could put a DA on Drummond. They just don't have anybody that could cover.
So
Anthony
when we
Davis.
Come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Suns very much look like they're locked into the number two seed, and it's very, very likely that the Lakers are locked into the number seven seed. That makes Thursday night's game against the Blazers the most important game remaining for the Phoenix Suns this year, and we will tell you why next on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Welcome back. Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. It was Jay Williams who had said this morning on the ESPN radio show, oh yeah, the Lakers want the Phoenix Suns. And we'll talk about what Jay said in a minute, or we'll talk about that later in the show, because after last night's game, it sure looked like that was the matchup to be avoided. And by the way, if you missed it, the window closed about an hour and 18 minutes ago for you to call Gambo an idiot on Twitter.
And not get blocked.
Gambo, a very magnanimous, generous offer in the 2 o'clock hour.
Yes.
Because on Friday, we had a couple of conversations in which you said, hey, man, I'm not scared of the Lakers. Bring them on.
Yeah, better to get them early.
That's fine. I mean, you gave me a bunch of crap because the Twitter poll question of the day on Friday was basically, who are you rooting for tonight, Portland or the Lakers? I said, I'll be honest with you, I'm rooting for the Lakers because I want the Lakers to be the sixth seed. I want the Lakers to beat Portland so the Lakers can be the sixth seed. And you thought I was crazy for rooting for the Lakers.
The Lakers had lost like 8 out of 10,
that's
5 out of 6.
Why?
The Lakers had lost 5 out of 6
I
games.
I know, but that's why I was rooting for the Lakers.
Yeah, got it.
Because I don't want to play them. I want to avoid them. So
I agree now. Yeah, I saw the game last night.
We gave the audience an hour to call you an idiot on Twitter, and now they can't do it anymore. So here
you can. I just might not.
Well, yeah.
I was going to say, they're still doing it. That's going on right now.
The Phoenix Suns are, if you believe basketballreference.com, they run all the simulations and everything. And you don't even need to run simulations. Just look at it. Use your brain. They're locked into the number two seed. They're not going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere.
They're 2 games back of the Utah Jazz.
Yep.
For the one spot.
3 ahead of the Clips.
With 4 to play for the second spot. The Clippers are 3 games back with 4 to play.
Yep. They're number two.
They're the number two seed.
Yep.
Okay, so that's locked in. So what can you do to avoid playing the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs? Well, there are a few things.
Because,
go ahead.
The Lakers pretty much control their destiny. But the Suns, you know, with strategic games against Golden State and Portland, can affect what happens with the Lakers, right?
Yes, they can. And there's a couple things that you can do. Number one, well, first of all, let's just talk about the Suns for a second.
Okay.
They're pretty much locked into the number two seed. Now would be a good time to start resting some key guys for the postseason. Because this team looks a little crispy, don't they?
Tired.
Yep.
They're not playing defense.
They look a little burnt over the last couple of weeks.
Listen, they haven't, like I said to you, when was the last time they played a good game? They didn't play good against Cleveland. They didn't play good against New York. They didn't play good against the Lakers. They didn't play good against Atlanta. They haven't played good basketball. It's been a while. I mean, we went back to the Jazz game. The last time the Suns played a good game was the end of April against the Jazz. They have not played good basketball in 10 days. It's been a struggle for them.
It has.
It's been a struggle. I think they're tired. I would strategically start resting guys and make sure that I'm ready to go for the playoffs.
All right, so the Burns and Gambo show have come up with a 4 or 5 step plan for what the Suns can do to maximize their opportunity to not play the Lakers in the first round, okay?
Okay.
Step number one is start resting guys over these next 4 games, okay? That's just to get yourself better.
Because the most importantly is they need to be right.
Absolutely.
If you got to play the Lakers, you got to play the Lakers, but you can't play the Lakers playing as bad as you're playing right
number
now.
Number two is to really make sure you're resting guys against Golden State tomorrow.
Because you want Golden State to win.
You want Golden State to be in the 8th seed.
Yes, because 8 plays 7.
So that they're playing the Lakers as a 7. Because here's what can happen. If the Warriors, in that 7-8 matchup in the play-in tournament, if the Warriors beat the Lakers...
They're the 7.
They're the 7.
And the Suns would play them.
And would avoid the Lakers.
And they're the only team that's going to be in the play-in. The Lakers, the Warriors, the Grizzlies, and the Spurs. They're the only team that you would say, they got a puncher's chance against the Lakers.
Sure.
Because Steph Curry could go off and hit 12 three-pointers, and there's nothing the Lakers can do about it. And then they could beat them. And not a seven-game series. In a seven-game series, the Warriors can't beat the Lakers. But in a one-game scenario, yes, they have a puncher's chance to beat the Lakers.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't bet on it, but they have a puncher's chance. And if they did, then the Suns could play Golden State instead of the Lakers.
And just a quick aside here, if you're not familiar with how the play-in tournament's going to work, 7's going to play 8. The winner of that is 7. The loser of that game will play the winner of 9 versus 10.
For the 8 seed.
The winner of that game is the 8 seed.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So that's how the play-in tournament works on both the East and the West. Okay? So step two is... Losing to the Warriors wouldn't be a bad thing tomorrow night. Resting some of your guys against the Warriors and losing to the Warriors to make sure the Warriors are the 8 seed, to give them that puncher's chance to beat the Lakers as the 7 seed. That's not a bad thing.
The Grizzlies are only a half game behind them.
A half game behind the Warriors.
The Grizzlies and the Warriors both have 33 losses. So You don't want to beat the Warriors and have Memphis overtake them, and then it's Memphis against the Lakers.
Right, because then the Lakers probably beat Memphis in that 7-8 yeah. game, and now you're stuck with the Lakers in the first round. Step number three, play like mad to beat the Portland Trail Blazers on Thursday if you're the Suns. Don't rest anybody on Thursday. Put it all in on Thursday, because what you need to do is you need Portland to lose as many games as possible so the Lakers have a chance to overtake them and become the sixth seed, and Portland falls to number seven. Now, the way it stands right now, Portland's got a one-game lead over the Lakers.
And the tiebreaker.
And the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a two-game lead over the Lakers. We figured it out earlier. If the Blazers go 1-3 in their last four,
LA could go 4-1 and take the sixth spot.
3-1. Don't they just have four games?
3-1. 3-1. Yeah.
They just have
if the Blazers go 1-3, the Lakers could go 3-1 and overtake them.
Okay.
So if the Blazers go 2-2, then the Lakers have to go 4-0.
So don't rest guys against the Blazers.
No, you try.
Play to win. And I don't think you're going to tank against the Warriors, but that's a good night to rest guys. The Blazers, that's not a good night to rest guys.
And the two Spurs games, don't play anybody.
Rest everybody.
Yeah.
Because you're locked into number two.
Yeah.
And hopefully what you've done is you've given the Lakers a great chance to move up to six. Hopefully what you've done is you've pushed Portland in the seven. And if nothing else, hopefully what you've done is you've set up a matchup. You've helped set up a matchup where 7 versus 8 is the Lakers versus the Warriors. And if the Warriors beat the Lakers, you don't have to worry about the Lakers in the first round. They'll drop to the 8th seed if they even win that game. Hopefully, that's your path to avoiding the Lakers in the first round. Hopefully. Because the Lakers and the Suns in the first round is a...
It looks like it's a collision course. It looks like they're on a collision course to play each other.
Look,
I'd be surprised right now if they don't play each other.
The odds say they're going to. I'd be surprised if they don't either. And look, I don't want to paint this picture like the Lakers are unbeatable. Like the Lakers can't be... Suns aren't good enough to beat them. It's a matchup thing, and it's not a good matchup for the Suns with all that size.
I mean, Portland beat him the other day. The Lakers tried as hard as they could to win that game, and Portland beat him.
Yep.
Right? That was a game the Lakers really wanted to win to avoid the play-in game, and they played Portland, and they lost. Damian Lillard had 38 points, and the Blazers beat him 106-101 Friday night. That was a big game. That was a big game. Now, The Suns just didn't play well. I mean, this is more on, oh my God, the Lakers look so great. Yeah, the Lakers look great. Part of the reason why is because the Suns didn't play very well.
And that's why the most important part of this equation, this 3 or 4 step plan that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
the Suns need to get some rest this weekend. They need to start resting some key guys. They've got to do it.
I would have been resting guys earlier. And you know me, and I said that. This isn't anything new. I would have been resting guys 2 weeks ago.
Yep, you're locked into number two. It's time to start doing it. Text the word playoffs, just not on Thursday against the Blazers. Text the word playoffs to 620-620. Sign up for the exclusive Arizona Sports Playoffs Valley virtual event featuring Arizona sports hosts and other special guests. Plus, you will have a chance to win an autographed jersey. Text the word playoffs to 620-620. The Valley virtual series presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. After an 0-6 road trip, the Diamondbacks are feeling down and frustrated. What needs to happen tonight to begin to turn things around? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Let's update our Twitter poll questions of the day. Spencer is here filling in for Sarah on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
There's a new number 21 in town, and we're trying to figure out who we want to play in the first round of the NBA playoffs for the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, in honor of me going to the D-backs game tonight, I threw out a D-backs
poll look
as well. But we don't have to do that. We can do whatever you guys want. We can keep it the same.
I wasn't expecting to have
a multiple.
So
we got three polls.
There's three polls.
Yeah,
I'm going overboard today.
Yeah, whatever. Give it to us. Yeah, go ahead. Right. Give us the Diamondbacks one.
Okay.
Actually, end with the Diamondbacks one, because that's what we're going to talk about. So let's start with Malcolm Butler is wearing number 21 for the Arizona Cardinals,
yes.
And that's going to be very weird, right?
Yeah, it is. Do you think Arizona should have made Patrick Peterson's old number available to be worn by someone else? 74% say yes. 26% say no.
I say yes.
It's
just going to be strange.
Yeah,
of course they should. They're not going to retire his number. It's just going to be
No, you could have hey, it's not available. We're going to kind of judge it and see what happens.
Like, yeah.
Just not going to make it available right now.
Okay, Suns question?
Yes. Who would you like to see the Suns play in the first round of the NBA playoffs?
Jazz. They play great against the Jazz.
That's not
they
possible.
They own the Jazz, baby.
Says the guy who's like, yeah, Lakers. Bring Give on the Lakers. Let's go.
Take the Jazz. They got their numbers.
All right. 45% say Memphis. 21% say San Antonio. 18% say Golden State. And surprisingly, 16% say the Lakers. After what we just saw.
You know, I mean, honestly, the choice there might be the Warriors. They're for a game, I wouldn't want to play him in a best of seven. I don't
it really comes down to one game or best of seven.
Yeah.
In one game, you never know what Steph Curry could do. In seven games, the better team usually prevails in a seven-game series.
Diamondbacks question, since you're headed down to the old ballpark tonight.
Yes, which has you most frustrated during the D-backs' six-game skid? Poor offensive output? That's leading the way at 55%. Poor starting pitching at 10%, and poor bullpen at 30%, and poor defensive play. They kind of threw it around a little bit in New York. That was bad.
Carson Kelly, the throw off of Lindor's foot,
in which Lindor went all the way from first to home on a stolen base.
Nobody backing it up. And then yesterday, and those are the three poll questions. You can find them on the Burns and Campbell Twitter page. And for the record, I would vote for the Diamondbacks offense. They hit 202. Getting swept by the Marlins and the Mets in those six games as a team. They scored 12 runs total in those six games. But if it's bad defense we're talking about, and it's a very frustrated baseball team, they come back because this time a week ago, the Diamondbacks were coming off that very successful homestand. Troy Lovello, 300th managerial win with the Diamondbacks. He was dancing in the clubhouse doing the David Peralta Dominican dance with the team. They haven't won a game since. They scored 12 runs since. And Torrey, over the weekend...
Some kind of voodoo dance or something?
Maybe, like a reverse
rain dance, it's a reverse wind dance?
Some sort of a reverse voodoo kind of psychology on the... I don't know.
Italians shouldn't do the Dominican dance? I don't know, I'm just asking.
They need a win badly, and Torrey is so frustrated with his team at this point. He was talking about all the little things that they did wrong in that series against the Mets, and the only one he specifically cited was the bunt by DeGrom that Eduardo Escobar was playing way back on. Now, we talked about this earlier, and you mentioned that it was basically the analytics had kind of told the Arizona Diamondbacks that's where they should have been playing, and they made a mistake.
Yeah, let me give you the information that that a lot of people just don't know about. It was definitely a breakdown on many fronts for the D-backs. They had advanced information that DeGrom would swing away till there was one strike. And so they needed to cover that area, near the six hole. It ended up being a costly mistake, but it was very complicated. But their information was that DeGrom was going to swing away. Instead, this is where the frustration was and where Torrey's kind of taking it. After strike one, the Diamondbacks would have been in a normal bunting depth. With a man at first base, the bunter usually bunts to first base. You want to make the first baseman field that bunt. DeGrom was absolutely one step ahead of the D-backs, and he played him. He dropped down the bunt with Escobar back, and it ended up burning the Diamondbacks. It was a great baseball play, and he played him.
Yeah.
But the Diamondbacks, their advanced information said that DeGrom will likely swing away, without a strike on him. But once he gets to a strike, then he'll bunt, but he'll bunt it towards first base. And so they got burned by that the information they had.
So DeGrom sees him playing back and says, okay, this is probably what their scouting report says I'm going to do. I'm going to use that to my advantage. And that was the one thing. And Torrey said there's lots of things, but that's the one that he specifically brought up as an example. Yes, Eduardo Escobar was playing too deep. This team is in a funk right now. And to think that it's just Eduardo Escobar's defense and where he's playing on the field, that's not even the half of it right now. It's offensively. It's defensively. It's their bullpen, which continues to leak all over the place when they come into these games. There's so many things going wrong with this team right now that you hope there's still a ton of season left. But you hope that little surgence we had a week ago, I hope that wasn't fake. I hope that wasn't not the real Diamondbacks. Do you know what I mean? Like we saw it last year. I know it was only a 60-game season, but remember, they got off to a poor start, and then like the second or third week of the season, they played great out of their minds. They went above 500. They were like 13-11. We thought, okay, whew, here we go. They're back. They're okay. They played horrible baseball the rest of the way. That little blip was fake baseball. It wasn't who they really were. It wasn't what they were really about. I hope the baseball we saw a week ago wasn't fake baseball from the Diamondbacks and not who they really are, not who they really aren't.
You know what the thing is about teams that are average, you know, 500 teams?
Mm-hmm.
They're both. They're both. They're good and they're bad. A 500 team doesn't win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one. They lose six, then they win five. They win one, lose one, then lose three, and then they win three. Or they win two out of three, then they lose two out of three. So the thing about an average team, you know, is that that's who they are. They're going to give you glimpses of playing good baseball, and then they're going to struggle. They're not consistent enough to be good. They're not consistent enough to not have those type of losing streaks. The Diamondbacks, you know, are not good enough to not have losing streaks like this.
No,
so
but
I think that's kind of like, to me, that's kind of who they are. Is it going to be up and down all year?
But my point was last year, I mean, they never found that good streak again the rest of the year. Once they had that good streak, that was it. That was their good streak. I know it was just a 60-game season.
Yeah, by the time they got done with the good streak, I mean, you were down. You were almost halfway through the season.
That was it. I agree with you. The back and forth that comes with being a mediocre team, you're going to have good stretches. You're going to have bad stretches. Last year's Diamondbacks team never had another good stretch. It was all bad the rest of the way, and that was it. I hope that's not what the Diamondbacks are. Not only did that go down this weekend, Rick Tocchet and the Arizona Coyotes mutually agreed to part ways over the weekend. And I said to you earlier in the show, this feels like one of those examples where it truly was mutual. I don't know if it was or not, but it didn't sound like with what was going on that Rick Tocchet would maybe want to coach this team again next year.
No, he would have been willing to coach the team under certain circumstances. You know, obviously they needed to make some major changes, you know, on that roster. Look, there's nobody in that organization that wants number 23 back, okay? They want a new captain, and they want number 23 gone. Everybody in the organization. I mean, the GM, the coach, the owners, they all want him gone. So they would have had to work out, and they'll strip the captaincy of him if he doesn't get traded. The problem is he just has no value. You can't trade him because he's got no value because he's just not a good player. So that's the hard part. So they'll threaten to strip the captaincy. I think they will strip the captaincy, and they'll just try to get somebody to – maybe they have to eat some of the salary to get him to move. So that would have been part of it too. And I just think just getting a little bit of a roster overhaul and the right people in place to give you a chance to win. Tock's going to have opportunities, maybe in New York with the Rangers, maybe with this new Seattle team, maybe Columbus. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for him to go be a coach. 4 years is a long time. I mean, it is. It's a pretty long time. The Coyotes organization wants to get a new voice in here because these guys have heard the same voice for a while. So get a new voice in, they'll bring in, and the GM's going to want to hire his new head coach, which makes a lot of sense. But I do think in many ways, yeah, it was more mutual than, hey, one side wanted to go and the other wanted to stay.
The Phoenix Suns back in the playoffs, and we're giving you the chance to score the hottest ticket in town. Suns playoff tickets. God, that sounds good just to say it. Text the word ticket. It's a 620-620, and register to win a pair of Suns playoff tickets plus a Devin Booker Valley jersey. Again, that's the word ticket. It's a 620-620. The Lakers want the Suns as a first-round opponent in the playoffs. Who's the best matchup for the Suns out of all the potential first-round candidates? That's coming up. Burns and Gambo Show. I had a feeling we were going to be talking to Kevin today. I don't know why. I just had a feeling.
Is that why Judas Priest is on?
No, I don't think this is officially the Kevin Pelton theme music, though.
It should be.
You know, I mean, when you hear Kevin, the first thing you're going to think is, oh, yeah, it's totally a Judas Priest fan. Totally. I mean, he just gives off that vibe. He really does. Joining us right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, the world's number one Judas Priest fan, Kevin Pelton, NBA insider from ESPN, right? I mean, that theme song is totally your jam, isn't it, Kev?
How did you know?
Don't
lie to me. Do you like the damn music or no?
It's not my favorite.
No? But you know who they are, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, ultimate classic rock band right there. There's some good music by Judas Priest. That's another Breaking the Law, Living After Midnight. You've got another thing coming. They had a couple of good hits.
Yeah. I have a feeling every time Kevin comes on with us, he's like, what are those clowns going to throw at me today? What are they going to make me talk about today? I can't promise you because it's random in the computer, but we'll try to avoid the Judas
Priest. Look, just run the simulations. What's the Suns' chances against the Lakers in a 7-game series? We're stuck with the Lakers. We know it. They know it. Run the... Get back to the simulations, Kevin.
That's my real concern right now, is I'm trying to log into the ESPN site to see their simulations.
Can you do that?
I can usually, but I've got it set up on my computer, and that's away from me. And it turns out I do not have the password on my phone, I guess.
Well, wait. We'll come back to us in a minute. Go run it 100,000 times before you come back. We need to know.
Kevin, we're gripping a little bit down here in the Valley. It's been a magical season for the Phoenix Suns in every way you could imagine. And look, I'll admit it. I've lived here my entire life. We've always had this, you know, kind of inferiority complex when it comes to the Lakers in Los Angeles. We're cursed with it here in Phoenix when it comes to the Suns. But we see what happens last night. Man, we don't want anything to do with that team in the first round of the playoffs. Are we, from your perspective, are we right to feel that way? Is this a matchup that needs to be avoided at all costs for this thing not to come to a premature end for the Suns?
I mean, I wouldn't say for it not to come to a premature end, because I think there's reason to think the Suns could win that series. But definitely, if you give me my choice out of, you know, the Lakers with LeBron, it sounds like, coming back, or Portland, or I guess Dallas, even though it seems like they're far enough ahead now that they may be out of that mix. There's no question that the Lakers are the last of those three choices.
Yeah, I don't. You know, the other thing you look at, too, that we've had a lot of discussion on this today. The Suns are going to be the two seed. The Lakers are very likely going to have to play in that play-in game. But we are looking at the possibility that the Lakers may have to play the Golden State Warriors. If it holds up 7 plays 8, in a one-game series, anybody's got a puncher's chance, especially Steph Curry and the Warriors, because Steph could knock down 12 or 13 threes and he could beat them and send the Lakers into the, you know, 9-10 matchup. So that's the other thing you look at, too, is in a 7-game series, the Lakers would beat the Golden State Warriors. But in a one-game scenario, I think the Warriors, unlike Memphis or San Antonio, would have that puncher's chance.
I agree with that. I mean, I think it's a combination of factors. Number one, if you're the Warriors, you know, it's not the same team that won the championship in 2018 or those three titles, but there's enough pieces from that team in place, notably Steph Curry and Draymond Green. You're not going to be intimidated by anyone, even the defending champion Lakers. And then number two, like you said, you know, the combination of Steph Curry as well as he's played over the last month and a half here and the single game setting, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that if Lakers go into the play-in as the 7th seed, it means they're going to end up as the 7th seed.
Kevin Pelton from ESPN NBA Insider, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Just looking at the possibilities here, knowing that Memphis is only a half game back from Golden State going into the final week. Of the teams that are involved in the play-in tournament, and right now it looks like it's going to be the Lakers at 7, the Warriors at 8, Memphis at 9, San Antonio at 10. Of those four, who is the ideal matchup for the Phoenix Suns in terms of a first-round matchup?
Well, I guess I would say San Antonio is probably the ideal matchup for anybody in terms of they're just the worst of those teams, especially with Derek White out of the lineup. And, you know, if Zion Williamson hadn't suffered the broken finger, I think New Orleans would be kind of knocking on that door for the 10th spot. So, you know, I don't think that's also the reason they're probably not going to come out of that play-in tournament. I think, you know, Memphis's lack of playoff experience would be a bit of an issue for them in this setting, in a playoff setting. That's obviously one of the concerns about Phoenix, is that outside of Chris Paul, the roster doesn't have, and Jay Crowder, the roster doesn't have a ton of playoff experience. Well, that's not going to be an issue if the guys you're going up against on the other side are Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., and they've never played in the playoffs either, although they did get that play-in game experience last year against Portland. So, you know, I think it's pretty clearly Memphis. I think you'd go, in terms of most favorable, Memphis, Warriors, Lakers, in that order.
You know, sometimes you talk yourself into things, and I think with the Lakers, I think I tried to talk myself into, hey, you know what, they're not playing well, they've lost 5 out of 6, they lost 10 out of 12, LeBron's hurt, Anthony's hurt, Schroeder's out. The good time to get them would be early, that the best time to get the Lakers might be in the first round before they get on a little bit of a roll. Was that foolish thinking?
No, I think that's completely reasonable. It certainly sounded a lot better before Anthony Davis's game last night, where, you know, he looked like a completely dominant force, and it's been progressive over the course of the week where, you know, his first 5 games back from the injury, he was pretty dreadful, which, you know, makes sense. He was out an extended period of time, and they were asking him to carry a pretty heavy load at that point. But, you know, starting with their win over Denver, and he played very well in Portland on Friday night, even though they lost that game, and then continuing last night, he's looking more and more like a AD. So that undercuts it, but you've still got not only LeBron coming back from the injury, but also Dennis Schroeder coming back from the time he spent in the health and safety protocols. So, you know, we'll see if he's back in time for the play-in tournament, but it's possible his first game action in several weeks could come in the playoffs. And, you know, we've seen guys struggle after time in the health and safety protocols, and I think that's only going to be accelerated if you're going from zero to playoff level of competition.
The other thing that we're kind of hanging our hat on around here when it comes to the Lakers, Kev, is that maybe the Lakers can recapture the sixth seed by catching Portland. Now, I know Portland won that big game on Friday night. They now have the tiebreaker. They're sitting alone in sixth. I've looked at the schedules trying to figure out, you know, how it can happen. And Portland's got a real tough schedule. I just don't know if any of the teams they're playing against are going to be resting guys this week or not. Should we give up on the Lakers catching Portland? And I know you don't have your password in front of you, so you're not running your simulations on this, but just based off of your familiarity with the situation, should we give up on the idea that the Lakers can catch Portland as the sixth seed?
I know enough of what the simulations were on Friday night that I have pretty good sense for it. Yeah, I mean, I think you hit on the key topic here, which is, are those last three teams going to have much incentive to play for Portland? And, you know, that could be the determining factor. And Phoenix now has a bit of an ability to help dictate that with how much effort they give on Thursday night going up against Portland. So, you know, it does look very difficult on paper. It might look more difficult if we get to Wednesday and Utah decides that a couple other starters are joining Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley and sitting out, because the Jazz also, you know, are looking at this and maybe wanting to manipulate things, and I'm sure that they would love to have the Lakers in that play-in tournament.
All right, I'm going to count these on my fingers. I want to see how many teams you think have a chance to win the NBA championship this year. Does Philly have a chance?
Yes.
Does Brooklyn have a chance?
Yes.
Does Milwaukee have a chance?
Yes.
The Knicks?
No.
Atlanta?
No.
Miami?
No.
Utah Jazz?
Yes.
Suns?
Yes.
Clippers?
Yes.
Nuggets?
Yes. Yes.
Dallas Mavericks?
No.
Portland?
No.
The Lakers?
Yes.
Golden State Warriors?
No.
All right, so you've got eight. This is crazy this year. There shouldn't be eight teams that could win an NBA championship. It's never like this.
No, it's really unusual. And often at times, I think a lot of the time when we talk about how wide open it is, it's because we really don't recognize how good one of the contenders is. That happened in 2014-15, the Warriors' first title, where there was a lot of talk about the West being wide open. And then the Warriors, you know, they weren't unbeaten going through the conference playoffs. They got tested a couple of times, but it became clear that they were far and away the best team. And in hindsight, it doesn't seem as wide open as it did then. But, you know, this year, the combination of this unusual season, the number of in-season trades we've seen that have made a big difference, like Brooklyn coming together, and the fact that the most talented teams are probably the LA teams and Brooklyn, and those are going to end up, you know, the Nets look most likely to be the third seed in the East, the Clippers most likely to be the third seed in the West, and then the Lakers potentially the seventh seed. So we've not usually had that big of a disconnect between the most talented teams and the highest seeds.
Thanks, as always, for putting up with our nonsense, Kevin. We really appreciate it.
We'll get that password.
It'll be a little different than simulations next time. We haven't had an actual playoff series once, so that's going to be fun.
And download Judas Priest's Greatest Hits for the next time we have you on.
Come on.
Kevin,
just want to know, Lakers-Suns simulation, how's it going to work out? We got to know.
Kevin will work on that. Kevin Pelton joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Infinity, luxury cars, legendary service. Visit CoulterInfinity.com. The Lakers are looking at the Suns as the preferred first-round opponent. How tough of a road could it be for LA to get through the play-in games, though, is something we'll talk about next on the Burns and Gambo Show.